The goal is not to win, because you can win the argument and lose everything else.
Family man, yeah. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Trail. From the top.
That's it, man. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Well, Scott, it's going to be a great day. Today's my anniversary. I've been married 31 years to my bride, and everybody else is probably wondering what's wrong with Scott, or maybe they aren't. but we're recording, a whole 2 hours earlier this morning, because my wife and I are heading out, and I asked Scott if he could graciously meet a little early, and Scott was like, let's do it. Well, I don't know if he said it like that, but Scott is not. And if this is your first time listening, Scott is not a morning person.
And if this is your first time, where have you been?
Where have you been? You've been living in a cave. So are you like a night person? Do you wake up like at 10 o'clock, 10:30 in the evening?
And I generally fall asleep for like a little nap around 10 o'clock at night, and I wake up again at 11, and wake up for a couple hours then.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Wow.
It's weird.
So I'm usually in bed by, I don't know, 10:15, 10:30. So anyway.
It's people like you that make this world difficult for the rest of us.
I'm not an early to riser either. I'm not like one of those guys who, 5:30 and they're ready to go. I wish I could sleep till like 8. That would just be wonderful, glorious, but I just can't seem to do that. But it's been a big week. It is a big week. Lots to do. Lots has happened. This past Sunday, we moved Ike and Carolyn into their almost new house that's right across the street. We've been working on it for months and months, and they are officially there. The finish line was Carolyn's birthday, which we celebrated last night. But on Sunday, we're like, at the very end of last week, my wife's like, let's do it this weekend. Let's do it Sunday. And so Sunday, we moved it all over there. It didn't take that long. They're still not like in total living conditions. Yesterday, I set up the kitchen sink so they could use that. They've got a bathroom sink. They got a toilet. The bathtub's in, but the shower, the tiles aren't, so they can't really use that. The refrigerator that they bought used is cool, but not cold. Their washing machine that someone gave them is not working. And they don't have gas yet. I think it's coming today. The utility companies are hooking up the gas meter, so they should have a stove working today. And so things aren't in finish mode. I mean, there is no trim on any of the windows, of course, but the floors are all in. It looks awesome. It's all painted. It looks we put the closet in on Sunday, and there are no doors on any of the interior doors. There are exterior doors, but there's still lots of work, but they're in, and that's super, super fun.
Dude, they're set for like when there are old married parents. When their kids complain about something, they'll be like, yeah, when we were first married, we didn't have anything. We didn't have a door on the front of the house.
That's right.
We slept all winter with no heat.
Well, they have had a long, their first year of marriage, they lived in Family Man listener Chris Wagner's a little lake house that was made for a lake house, maybe not a full-time house. And they did that for a year. And then they spent, then their dream was to go to Disney World for a year, but then the whole world shut down. And so they lived in their camper in my yard, which I just moved 2 days ago on Monday. And they lived there until it got cold. And then they moved to the upper part of my barn, which they we've got that back to normal now. And it felt kind of quiet that first, you know, night I was out here. And it was just like, wow, they're gone. And I told them, it wasn't like we wanted you to leave. We just wanted you to be on your own. And so it's been a good thing.
Yay, congratulations to them.
Yeah, it was good. And Howard wrote in and said he is sorry that he did not have a song for Scott. And we need to pray for Howard because his wife Karen was diagnosed with a papillary, maybe thyroid cancer on Thursday. Mm. They said the prognosis is good, but it's still scary. Yeah. And so why don't we pray for Howard right now and his wife Karen? Father, I just pray for Howard and his wife who might be listening right now. And I pray that you would give them a peace that passes all understanding. We know that she is safe in your hands. They are safe in your hands. But we come to you as your children. And we ask, Father, that you would heal her, that you would give the doctors wisdom, that the treatment that they do would be successful, and that it would be contained right there. And that they would be surrounded by people who are good carers and help them be good moms and dads in the midst of that, and husbands and wives, help them to stay on the same team because I know some of those stresses can really pull at you. And we thank you, Father, that we are safe in your hands. And I just pray, in your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
So going from there, so today's my anniversary, 31 years, like I said.
Anniversary.
I love anniversaries. I love just special days because we kind of get a stop and my wife gets to kind of break out of the normal and I get to show her how much I love her and how much I appreciate her. And of course, I have blown it many times.
I don't think that shirt's going to help.
Well, they can't see it. Todd's
wearing this really gaudy Hawaiian aloha shirt, which
that's
to
it.
Be fair, I actually really like it, but
okay, well,
I just
thank you.
Thought I'd make fun of it for the show.
I love these shirts.
They're very cool.
So, but I'm not wearing it today.
Where are you going?
We have a family lake cottage, so we're going to spend the night there. Hopefully it looks like it's going to be a super sunny day. And so we're just going to sit by the lake and soak in the sunshine, which is one of my wife's favorite things. It's energizing to her, and we don't have to worry about anybody or anything. And then we'll eat somewhere tonight and maybe spend a little bit of money buying her a few things. And I know she wants to stop at Goodwill on the way there. We've got about a 2-hour drive, so we're going to leave here shortly. But, I always feel nostalgic. I'll say, oh, do you remember that we were doing this at this time? Remember we were getting ready? And she's not that way. She's like, nope, don't remember. I'm like, okay, let's move on. But we'll have a good time. I hope, I can ruin even a good time. So I hope I don't, and I don't know, Dad, if you've got a anniversary coming up, because this is the time of anniversaries. Make sure you do something. Don't just let it slide by, because I know sometimes after you've been married a while, you don't even get a card anymore. And I know your wife might say, oh, I don't need that. She's lying to you. She wants to be able to brag on you and say, oh, my husband did this, or he got me flowers, or he took me here, or we went out to our favorite restaurant. Do not let it slip up on you and surprise you. I know 1 year it did to me, and I became one of those loser dads. I became part of the loser dad club. Because I was speaking somewhere.
Of which I am the founding member.
Well, there's even a song to Scott. Howard's working on it right now. Try to include that, Howard. And but we were speaking somewhere and I was with my son and I opened up my suitcase and there was a card in there and it said happy anniversary. And I'm like, I'm a loser. I'm one of those men. I had no idea. Never even dawned on me. But, you can even make that up. You can rewind time and you can say, set back the calendar, which I've done before, and said, we're going to pretend that it's June 16th all over again, honey. And today is our anniversary. So just do something about that.
If you've been married long enough, she might just be like, sweet, I'm getting whatever I want this year.
That's true. So that's a good point. It's kind of like a hostage situation.
It's that, you know, after like 20 years, you get a little vindictive, and the anniversaries are more about how we can be more vindictive than, you know, just kidding.
Do not listen to that advice. Scott, you should write Hallmark cards.
Yes, I should.
It's not about love. It's about vindication.
Speaking of that.
Yes.
I got my parents a funny birthday card, and I thought I'd just slip this in here to say happy birthday to my parents, since I'm the lousy son and missing their birthday party this weekend when the rest of my siblings are going to be there. But
yeah, they'll be talking about
you. They planned it for Father's Day weekend, and you know, my newly married daughter and her husband are coming down to hang out with us, and it's also my youngest daughter's birthday, and it's just way too much for me to get down to spend the birthday with the parents. They're both turning 80 this year, so happy birthday, Mom and Dad. This is all you get. This and a card, if I remember to send it.
That's the great thing about having a wife, because she usually takes care of that for me. You know, I mean,
not mine.
You're on your own. Just sink or swim. So Scott,
she does usually remember that. I just happened to actually buy a card like last weekend, which is a first for me to buy a card this early for my parents. So I was I was ready, but I haven't mailed them yet. So I probably
could run out of days here.
Yes.
Which is a Scott is perfect lead in to this Sunday is Father's Day. Bum ba ba ba. You know, the greatest single holiday of the human race, where they celebrate fathers, dads, but don't get your hopes up. It is kind of an underwhelming, you know, celebration where they usually say things like, sorry, Dad, I forgot. I didn't have time. You know, like it doesn't happen every year, you know, on the same day, you know. But I hope you know how important what you do is. I mean, what you do really, really matters as a dad. I just continue to get emails, and I talk to dads who are overwhelmed by terrible situations where kids have made bad choices or wives have walked away. And, you know, the dads are still the dads. So do not think that what you do as a dad goes overlooked. You might even have kids who don't even talk to you. I've had dads who say, you know, my older kids will have nothing to do with me right now. I'll tell you what, Dad, don't fall for that. They need you. They need you to be relentless. They need you to pursue them, not in a way that just, you know, makes them run away, but in a way that says, I'm never, ever leaving. I'm right here. You know, like the prodigal father, he was there looking. He may not have gone, you know, looking from town to town for his son, but he was there on the horizon waiting for his return. So dads, you matter. Scott also mentioned that it was his daughter's birthday, but he failed to mention that Sunday is also Kids Day, you know, the first day of summer. And I know for some of us dads, it's like, oh man, is that coming up already? But I also have dads who write me and say, we do Kids Day every year, you know. And Kids Day is something I think, you know, I even tried to get it made into a national holiday. I think I started it, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, where we just started celebrating the first day of summer because my son Sam said, it was after Father's Day and we had Mother's Day, and Sam goes, Dad, what about Kids Day? And I'm thinking about, like, every day's Kids Day. You don't need a day to celebrate kids. But I thought, you know, that's not a bad idea. So I don't know what we did that first year. I think we got it like a slip and slide, and maybe we went to a movie, or we camped out in our backyard, in our tent, or we did something. You know, we watched a video and stayed up late and ate popcorn and had pizza. And so ever since then, the first day of summer, we've just let our kids know how much we love them. And I know, my kids count on it. In fact, Cal was like on, it was like June the 3rd. He goes, Dad, you miss Kids Day. And I'm like, what do you mean? He thought it was the 1st of June and thinking that was the beginning of summer. But, you know, it didn't have to be big. It can just be as simple as saying, hey, today's Kids Day. I just want you to know how much I love being your dad.
Hey, happy Kids Day. Clean your room, kid.
Go, our house. Go clean something of ours. Yes. Make them feel special.
That's so, reminding them that they're kids. Your kids, clean up.
Kind of like property that you own. If you want more information on that, you can go to our website and just search Kids Day, and there's some articles there as well. So, big weekend, convergence weekend, Father's Day, Kids Day hits at the same time. Also, I thought maybe we'd kind of spend the remaining time, Scott, talking about something that Steve West, a famous man, Steve West, sent me. It's from Babylon Bee, so you know it's satirical, whatever that means. The title of the article is Surefire Ways to Win an Argument with Your Wife, brought to you by Marriage Helper. And I just thought maybe we'd talk about some of these things because, of course, you never want to follow this, but you probably have found yourself doing most of these. It says, here at Babylon Bee, we enjoy perfect marriages with our smoking hot wives. We understand not everyone is perfect, though. Sometimes you get into arguments with your wife. Ha ha. To help you navigate these difficult talks, be sure to follow these expert arguing tips from the marriage experts at the Bee. The first one is, as soon as you start arguing, take off your shirt to distract her with your Greek god body. She will immediately be overcome with desire and completely forget that she's mad at you. Well, you know, I know that might work for Scott, and but it doesn't work for everybody. Here's the deal, and we're not gonna follow any of this, but I did think there's some truths in that. Sometimes we think, you know, that our wives might be mad at us, and we all of a sudden get turned on by something, and we can make that jump real quick. That is not so with our wives. I don't know about you, Scott, but sometimes it takes my wife a little bit of time to get out of that hurt mode, you know, where we might have been having this thing going on, and where I get out of it quickly and I can move on and I can even feel close after that. She's like, you've got to be kidding me, right?
That was actually, on a very serious note, that was one of the better marital pieces of advice from some videos we watched. Was it, what's his name? The big Christian marriage counselor from way back whose son does it now. Gary something.
Chapman? Smalley?
Smalley. Gary Smalley's videos from way back when. He talked about how your wife's spirit closes up like a fist when you get in a fight. And it's not just a matter of resolving the conflict, because you can resolve the conflict and her spirit's still locked up tight like a fist. Yeah. And you've got to find a way to gently open that fist, like open her spirit up to you again. And that visual image just stuck with me, man. Cause there are times when I'm like, look, I said, I'm sorry. We're done. Right. And yeah, it's like, yeah, exactly. You know, that's not
moving on. Right. Yeah. You know, and I think sometimes as a church, maybe we do husbands and wives a disservice to say the goal is not to argue. You know, because I think we think that arguing is abnormal, or that it's, and I don't think that's the case. I think arguing is normal.
Sure.
And really.
It sure is in my house.
Yeah, that's right. We got it down pat. That's what my wife said. Well, we've never really learned to argue in our marriage. And I'm like, we got it, honey. We don't need no help there. But the thing is how, like you said, how to resolve it. And I think even for our children, I'll hear parents say, well, I don't want our kids to see us argue. And I'm like, why? Because they're going to argue one day. And wouldn't it be a travesty if they got to, you know, wouldn't it be a travesty if they got, like, your daughter and your son-in-law, you know, and they get to that point and they're having this ugly thing where they don't like each other. And the daughter goes, well, my parents never felt that way. My parents never did this. Well, that's just not true. All parents do that. And I think, you know, our goal should be to have our kids see us do life and then watch us respond in a godly fashion where we apologize. And we, like you said, Scott, you know, we don't just apologize and move on, because some guys do that. All guys maybe have done that, and we still want to do that. Mm-hmm. But we take the time and we slog through it, you know, because we want to love them as we want to be loved, you know, as God loves us. That's how we're going to love them. And I think that's a huge thing. Well, here's number two. So the first one is, you know, take off your shirt. The second one is use cold, hard reason, meticulously explained and re-explained. And it says using logic and reason in an argument with your wife will help her immediately understand how ridiculous she is being. Problem solved. And of course, that's wrong. You know, and I think sometimes we do think that way, that if I could just, it's like the mask thing, you know, the mandate. If I think if I could just explain it to them, they'll go, oh, you're right. That makes perfect sense. You know, the same thing with our wives. It's not even about winning the fight. You know, it's not about like, well, if she can just see my idea or my thoughts, then she'll come to this understanding, you know, of how wrong she is. And then she'll go, oh, right, you're right, Todd. It doesn't win. That's not the goal. You know, if you need some audio visuals, look up. It's not about the nail on YouTube, because it is like the almost the single greatest thing ever produced on husband wife things. And there are times, I assume you kind of feel this way too, Scott, that you wish you could say, well, you got a nail on your forehead, you know, just pop it out and you'll be fine. But it's really not about those things.
Yep. That's all I got for that one.
Okay. Number three. This is probably the first time I've ever said this on the air, but it says number three, ask her if she's on her period. Then just tell her lovingly that, you know, this is just because of the lady hormones and won't hold it against her. I don't know about you, Scott, but I mean,
that's like walking through a minefield.
It is. And it goes for other things as well. I know my wife has gone through periods of feeling depressed and hormonally out of balance. I mean, she still sometimes feels hormonally out of balance. She's had some thyroid issues. And here's the deal about when you're interacting with your wife, it's okay for her to say that. She can say, oh, I'm on my, you know, period, and I'm just really crabby and I hate you right now. That's okay for her to say that. But you cannot go down and say, well, oh, you're just this way because of this. Because she doesn't want it, you to think that it's just because of that. She wants you to know that it's about you.
The harsh, cold truth of the matter is that it's not going to matter if she is or not. You're still wrong in her eyes, and therefore you lose.
And exactly. So don't bring it up. It won't work. Yeah. It's kind of like the cold, hard reason meticulously explained. It doesn't have to make it may make sense of the thing, but don't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, you just deal with it. Deal with it. Number four says helpfully suggest she calm down. Sometimes wives forget to calm down. One helpful reminder and all tempers will dissipate. You're a genius. Of course, you know, that does not help. It doesn't help our wives. It doesn't help me, you know, when my wife says it to me. It's like, I know I'm not calm. Don't tell me to be calm. So I'm
not sure that works with anybody.
I know it. I mean, do you have kids? Now I have kids who tell me to do these kind of things. You know, Dad, you're kind of freaking out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, okay. Yeah, whatever. You know,
I get that from one son in particular. And I,
they're the first to go.
Look, you don't get to tell me.
I know it.
That really sets me off then.
I know it. Well, and it does our wives too, so don't do it. Don't do it. Number five, make an Excel spreadsheet so she can follow the argument better. Sometimes arguments with your wife will branch off into multiple unexpected paths at once. Keep track so you can address each issue and check it off your list as you do. And of course, you know, that's doesn't work.
Again, that same son, when he was younger, he would occasionally just lock himself in his room for a while, and then like a couple hours later, he'd shove a note under the door, or he'd leave it in our bedroom or something. Somehow he'd deliver it to us, and it was like a treatise of all the things we had done wrong and the things we had, you know, that he holds against us.
Yeah.
Which we got a kick out of, and we've saved some of them. We'll present them to him at his wedding or something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That didn't exactly help him win the argument either.
Yeah. Well, this is something that I've kind of noticed, not only in my wife, but in other wives. I was just talking to a dad this past week. And, you know, sometimes our wives, and this may be not quite the point, but our wives, they feel so. You know, when we're dealing with something now, like something that might have just happened, you know, you forgot to bring or she has to go to the store to bring home a loaf of bread, and you came home and you brought the wrong kind of bread home, and she gets so bent out of shape. You know, what will happen like with my wife? Because I'm kind of like, what's the deal? It's just the wrong loaf of bread. They all look the same. You know, why do they have to have 47 different kinds of bread in the same kind of bread wrapper? You know, one different word. What she sees is she hears you either, maybe you didn't listen to me, or it doesn't make, you don't care about which bread, you just grab the first one. And then they tie it into past hurts. So it becomes, you never listen to me. You never take the time to find the right one. And sometimes we husbands, you know, we have earned that fairly. I know sometimes I may have done something 10 years ago, and if I do something similar even now, you know, it takes her back to that spot where she was really hurt. I talked to a husband, you know, this week that, you know, was struggling with pornography. And he'd say, you know, I would be really good. And then, you know, maybe a couple months later or longer than that, I would fail and fall. And he goes, you know, I didn't see how it was not a big deal. He knew it was a big deal. Why it got so traumatic. But it really, because what happens, it always takes you back to that first time or the second time. And it just like they pile up. And so, Dad, sometimes you have to, again, that does happen to all of us all the time. Sometimes we have to understand, I think, why they're so upset about it. And sometimes we have to apologize for something bigger than just getting the wrong loaf of bread. And we say, you know, honey, it does seem like I don't care, but I do care. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that about me, you know, and then you keep talking about it until it's resolved and you just go on but it's wrong to think that she can somehow just drop that. You know, if I was talking to wives, I'd say drop that, but I'm not talking to wives.
I find it's helpful to just get nihilistic at that point and be like, fine, you married a rotten husband. Okay. Get over it.
And we all know at this point, we all say, well, at least I'm not as bad as Scott. And that seems to
make us
feel better. It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Neither of those work. Just
okay. There you go. Here's one. Number six, reminder. This is when you're in an argument. It says reminder that the thing she just said sounds like something her mother would say. Also reminder that your mother never talked to you like this. So we just know that didn't work. So don't do that. Number seven, threaten to boycott mowing the lawn. She might try to mow the lawn herself, but she won't be able to pull the crank start thingy. She'll realize just how essential you are. So that's, I think you brought that up earlier, Scott, you know, where you said, what was that? That I said was really bad advice. We'll have to go back and listen to the show. So don't retaliate. Number eight, bring in all the kids and ask them to vote on who is right. This will also help you figure out which kids are on your side and which ones you need to keep an eye on. You know,
that's not a bad point, actually.
It is a bad point. Here's the deal. Again, in all arguments, the goal is not to win. Because you can win the argument and lose everything else.
That doesn't sound right.
That just sounds wrong, Todd. It is right. you know, because you don't want to win the argument. You want to win the relationship for both of you. Because there are times, and I'm sure you've experienced it too, Scott, where your kids will say, well, dad's right, mom, you know, you're wrong. And, you know, that just, it just feels like you're being ganged up on. And maybe it, you've had it the other way around while they start to turn. It doesn't soften your heart.
That's the time at which a wise dad would just step in front of that child to make sure they don't get hit with whatever's coming. Right. Like, oh, don't do that, son.
You know, and we say that. And I will say that. I'll say, no, your mom's right. You know, inside I might be saying, she's not totally right. But on the outside, I'm saying, she's right. She's not, she's right, not that the art that I was whatever, but she's right that she was hurt. You know, I validate what she was feeling, that it is correct. Cause you know, I've had the conversation with all my kids, but mainly my older kids as they've gotten married, that sometimes you have to apologize even when you don't feel like you were wrong, you know, but you have to apologize because you hurt someone inadvertently. And you validate that they were hurt by it. And that's something worth apologizing. I don't know why we, you know, we dads have a bad rap for not wanting to apologize. I don't know what the deal is. Because, you know, it's not a admission of you're a loser for apologizing or even that you failed. It's an admission that you're just like everybody else. Because we all say mean things. We all say hateful things. We all blow it. We all do things that we wish we hadn't. And maybe it's our own pride that just gets in the way of us wanting to resolve a relationship.
I think some people have a slightly overdeveloped sense of justice.
I agree. There are.
And I've been like that before where it's just, you just feel like there's this giant scorecard somewhere. And if you admit that you were wrong here, under false pretenses in your mind, you know, then somehow justice isn't served in the universe and God's offended. That's not the case.
And sometimes maybe it's that reason that it feels like, well, you want me to lie then and just apologize. And I don't think it's that.
No.
I think it's just saying, I'm sorry I hurt you. Yeah. You know, I mean, how can you, because I've been on the receiving end where, you know, you feel hurt by something somebody said and you're like, well, I didn't mean it. Get over it. You know, and I know they didn't mean it, but it still hurt, you know, and it would just go a long way. And you've been that way. You've been there, you know, where you just would like your wife or someone else to say, hey, I'm sorry I did that. Will you forgive me? You know, and it would make, and we'd go, oh, you don't need to, you know? Oh yeah, sure.
That's what your guy friends do. If you hurt one of your buddies, you know,
right?
Like
right,
if I hurt my old college roommate in some way, I'd be like, dude, I'm sorry. He'd be like, shut up, man.
Right.
We'd be fine. You know, like that's the end of it. It's not, we don't have to talk for an hour and a half about it with your wife. That doesn't work.
That's right. So anyway, dad, maybe you found yourself doing some of those things, just like they said. The point is don't do them. So thanks Steve for sending them to us. Dad, you'll probably get an opportunity, I'd say in the next 2 days, to argue the right way. Just humble yourself, say you're sorry, listen, say you're sorry, listen some more, and say you're sorry, and then until it's gone. But have a good Father's Day. I salute you as a dad, because I believe the whole world may not understand it, but I know you matter. I mean, the issues that we're facing, systemic racism, you know, that they like to use all the time, is a dad thing. You know, we teach our kids to love everybody and be kind to everybody. You know, if it's whatever, pick whatever it is, it's a dad thing. And we dads are the solution. And maybe we have been part of the problem, the lack of dads. But know this, that what you do really, really matters. Then don't forget, Kids Day is on Sunday. Maybe you can do something extra special. There's a movie. I think it's on Disney Plus. I don't think it's in the movie theater. Luca. And for some of your older kids, maybe some of my kids went to see Cruella, and they said it's really good. It's really funny. It's got a couple of scenes maybe that aren't so good. One character who is maybe one we'd like to avoid, but they said it's pretty good.
Just pull out an old classic like Jaws. That's a good kids' day movie, especially at the beginning of summer here.
But my wife said she and my daughter went to see Peter Rabbit 2. She said it was good and funny. So you could go maybe go see that, or maybe go to a drive-in movie theater. I wrote down yesterday that Hotel Transylvania, which is a funny one, is at our drive-in theater on July 23rd. I'm going to see if I can make it because I've been talking about it for years and I haven't done it. Or go do something else. You probably find a local baseball game at one of those AAA teams or whatever, or maybe a major league team on Father's Day. That might be fun as well. So have a great weekend. It's a good one. Enjoy the summer. And don't forget how important you are because you did that.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.
Thanks, Scott, for waking up early.
Sure.
Now you got a whole, you got the whole day ahead
of
you.
I'm going back to bed, man.
You are in bed right now.
No, I'm still wrapped up in my blanket, but I'm going back to bed.